suffering of those who have returned. Concern for our veterans is the common ground where members of our congregations and communities can meet concerning this war. The numbers of recent vets with severe injuries, including brain damage, has increased over previous conflicts. The wounded-to-casualty ratio in this war is the highest in history, 16 to 1, compared to 2.6 to 1 during the Vietnam War. The VA currently has a backlog of 400,000 to 600,000 disability claims pending. Veterans wait months, sometimes years. Meanwhile, 30% of our homeless are veterans. PTSD disability claims to the VA increased 80% over the 5 years from 1999 to 2004. We will need to respond fully to care for the 30 to 50% of Iraq veterans with PTSD, traumatic brain injury, or other mental health issues. The Regional Department of Veterans Affairs Network that includes Oregon reported the highest percentage in the nation of homeless veterans hospitalized for mental health reasons in 2004, 47.5%, which is 23% higher than the national average. Our region is fourth in the nation for admissions of homeless vets with substance abuse problems, as well at 60%, nearly double the national average. Over 18,000 troops who have served in Iraq or Afghanistan list Oregon as home, including over 5,000 National Guard. The current escalation calls for 360 more Oregon Guards to deploy this year. With these facts in mind, coupled with the real stories of friends and families, faith groups, including St. Luke Lutheran, are beginning to establish emergency bridge funds to help veterans in need waiting for their claims to be processed. Congregations and faith leaders are educating ourselves about PTSD and how to help affected individuals by bringing in speakers with expertise in these areas. This current resolution promises to involve city staff fully in coordinating and facilitating the community response to increasing needs. It resolves that the city will walk with us to advocate for full funding on the state and federal level, walk with us to support and empower the many secular and faith groups beginning to step forward. Thank you for dedicating resources to this effort. And that concludes Geraldine Foote's testimony. I want to take only just a very brief moment for my own. I am not authorized to speak for my church, but I can speak to some extent for our Veterans Issues Committee. I want to make you aware that many, many citizens want to find a way to be supportive of veterans. My own committee is comprised of such citizens. We hope that the process which is underway here today will lead to opportunities for us to be helpful and supportive. Thank you and bless you for taking this effort.
Members of the council, my name is Reverend Chuck Curry. I currently serve as the minister at Park Rose Community United Church of Christ and on the Public Policy Committee of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon. I am here today to support this resolution. 21 years ago, I began working at a shelter in Portland called Baloney Joe's. Each day, we served hundreds of individuals suffering from acute mental illness, people who had lost their jobs because of the declining timber industry, those battling alcohol and drug addictions, and veterans who served our nation in the armed forces only to be abandoned to the streets. The National Coalition for Homeless Veterans reports that in addition to the complex set of factors affecting all homelessness, extreme shortage of affordable housing, livable income, and access to health care, a large number of displaced and at-risk veterans lived with lingering effects of post-traumatic stress disorder and substance abuse, compounded by a lack of family and social support networks. No one should be homeless in the richest nation on earth, but Americans have a special burden to ensure that those who have served our nation are not left without services and support. Tragically, after the Vietnam War, our veterans were simply cut loose, and many ended up in shelters like Baloney Joe's. Our shelter, which received only limited government support, operated counseling programs, a medical center, a jobs program, and SRO housing services in Old Town. But we were so unpopular in our work that Mayor Frank Ivancy once famously said in the early 1980s that he would rather weed his garden than visit the people of Baloney Joe's. As many as one-third of the people that we served were Vietnam veterans. You would have thought that a lesson had been learned by the way that Vietnam veterans had been treated, but veterans from Iraq are already ending up in shelters, and we have seen the shameful way that veterans in medical facilities like Walter Reed have been treated. While an estimated 500,000 veterans were homeless at some point in the year 2004, the VA had the resources to only tend to 100,000 of them. The General Assembly of the National Council of Churches adopted a statement last year that read in part, "We urge our government to give meaningful support to U.S. troops. That meaningful support includes bringing active and reserve forces home from this war, providing soldiers still in harm's way with adequate armor to protect them from gunfire and explosive devices, giving earned benefits to veterans, especially injured veterans of this war, for which they have valiantly served, and honoring the sacrifices made by those who have died in this war by making adequate provision for surviving family members and creating a withdrawal plan that brings such sacrifices to an end. I believe that war is contrary to the will of God and that we are called to be peacemakers. We are also called to be a compassionate people, concerned with the least of these in society. I urge all Portlanders to do everything in our power to avoid the mistakes of Vietnam and to welcome home our veterans with open arms as soon as possible." Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes the invited testimony.
And do we have a sign-up sheet?
Yes, we have about three people left to speak. They're Gilbert Fry, Harley Waddell, and Harvey Thorstad.
Thanks for being here, folks. And when you speak, if you'd state your name for the record, we would appreciate it. And you each have 3 minutes.
Honorable Mayor, shall I go first? Honorable Mayor and council members, I want to thank Harley Waddell particularly for mentioning that this meeting was happening and for asking me to come in support of him. And so we're here in support of each other. For many years now, I've worked toward the effort of trying to save our memorial, which is the Coliseum. And the Memorial Coliseum, the Rose Garden, is a separate thing. But earlier on, I suggested that we have a $1 per ticket sales tax. Most of us aren't really wanting to suggest any kind of increased taxes. Not a very popular idea. But the idea of funding for the Memorial Coliseum and getting the money to make sure that we have a first-class place is a need. And it seemed like the money hasn't been there, and so the place is deteriorated. And so there was a lot of concern that maybe it should be put into something else, torn down and redeveloped. But it is a memorial, and it is a memorial to the veterans, and the city of Portland has been very fortunate. They've won the lottery when they had a World's Fair here. They won the lottery 100 years ago when they started the Rose Festival. They won the lottery when they drafted Bill Walton. And now we just won the lottery with this last pick. And the Blazers are in a real wonderful period of prosperity at the moment. And today's paper says that the tickets are now selling for $66,000 for one seat for one season. That's in the paper today. $66,000. And I'd like to see a dollar per ticket come to the city And these veterans' needs would be a good source. And there's about 2 million people that visit the Coliseum and the Rose Garden each year. And that could be a real source of funding for all of these needs for veterans. Thank you very much. Thank you.
My name is Harley Waddell. I'm representing the Veterans Action Committee. The reason why I wanted to speak to you is thank you very much for what you are proposing here and what you are doing. It's something that I would wish had been available when I returned from Korea. Of course, you realize that's a war that we're still fighting, 57 years now, kind of interesting. But nevertheless, I hear many people talking about helping the veterans that are returning in healing. And personally, I think one point of healing is very definitely having some place to go and be quiet and consider the buddy or the pal or the comrade that you went over with and did not return with. We have a number of veterans that are trying to reassimilate into the community. One of the things that I believe that they should have is a place to, I'm not going to say worship, but a place to where they can go and see that the city has honored their efforts, their friends' efforts, and the ones that did not return. And, of course, I am speaking of the Memorial Coliseum, yes. The place was dedicated for the remembrance of all veterans of all wars. Now, we only have World War II in Korea down there, and there's a lot of other skirmishes that have happened, and I think they should all be represented in that building. Now, this personal, of course, but we have a number of folks that we're talking about helping them heal. This is one method of helping them heal. Thank you.
I'm Harvey Thurstead, Commander U.S. Navy, retired Vietnam vet, president of the local chapter of Veterans for Peace. In a place for healing, we also started and maintained the Peace Park at the east end of the Steel Bridge, which is a contribution to the city, a very nice place to just come and meditate and rest. I'm speaking in support of this resolution. I applaud the efforts of those that brought it before the council and the council themselves. It's needed. I applaud the people that have spoken ahead for what they're doing. It needs more, and what the council here is doing is leading in that direction. I've heard that over a third of the homeless on our own streets in Portland are vets. Hopefully, this effort will also help that. The main effort of Veterans for Peace is not only the healing side, for we deal with many vets. We meet them when we're out tabling, bannering, and attempting to stop the war. We're pushing for prevention, that is, stop the war. Support the troops by stopping the war, bringing them home. Just close, I support the amendment.
Thank you. Thank you, folks.
We have one more person, Chris Bernard.
Mayor, commissioners, thank you for allowing me to speak. I'm not really prepared. Actually, yesterday I just heard about this, but I do, you know, applaud you in this resolution. It's a great way to make an awareness for the veterans. I want to talk, I have been a reservist for the 304th Rescue Squadron here in Portland, Oregon, my entire career, 20 years. I've also been an employee, City of Portland, as a firefighter for 10 years. I've been deployed and involved in most operations since Desert Storm 1. And, of course, in the last 10 years, I've deployed and returned to work as a city employee. And a couple of things I wanted to point out, you know, some of these are personal experience, but, you know, if I was sitting on your side of the table, I'd be, what can we do? What can we do to help these veterans? And I kind of want to talk about, I think someone mentioned there's 41, I saw a number 41, city employees currently. These are veterans that are reservists and guardsmen that are employed with the city of Portland right now. And I'm one of them. I had an experience most recently, in fact, a year ago today, one of my deployments was to Tucson, Arizona, and the emergency, they needed a temporary commander, and it was an emergency thing, and I got deployed there for 30 days, kind of my first CONUS assignment. But it's kind of interesting, and it, when I got down there, it was Davis-Monthan Air Force Base is the base I was assigned, but more interesting was the city I was in, Tucson. And I was a stark contrast, unfortunately, to the city of Portland in terms of how I felt, in terms of military friendliness, or you know what we're talking about. And just a couple examples, and you know, for instance, every movie theater I went into, there was always a general admission, seniors, and military, you know, with a discount. Every menu I opened, at the bottom, 10% discount for senior and military members. You know, every pool I went to, there was always a special consideration, whether it was a monetary discount or whatnot, for military members. And that's just an example, and there's other things, but those are just little things that, you know, tell me that Tucson is a military-friendly town. And I challenge you to, you know, look for ways for Portland to be a military-friendly town. On the other thing, you know, how does a returning vet, you know, trying to reintegrate back into the city employment system? Another thing I noticed from Tucson, as a firefighter, I noticed and I found out that the city of Portland operates under the bare minimum federal guideline laws in terms of there's, you know, acts that require, for instance, that a returning vet reintegrate back into their job at the same pay level at the left. And am I supposed to stop? Brief, okay, probably 1 minute. And for instance, I found out, you know, for City of Portland, in fire department, they give 5 shifts off of paid military leave for military duty. Tucson Fire Department, 21 shifts off. I did some research. The next lowest, you know, amount of time off, it was a city close here, 7.5 shifts off. Most were 10 to 15 shifts off. The other thing, when I returned to work, the laws protect you financially, but they don't protect things that aren't have a monetary assignment to them. For instance, when I return, I'm on the dive team, City of Portland Firefight dive team. That position doesn't have a pay attached to it. So when I left, I'm gone for a year, they filled my position, I came back. I had no rights to return to a non-paid position. My point is there's many examples within your own bureaus and the cities that we could look at and go, you know, change a few things. Why are we just doing the bare minimum, you know, for our service members? Why aren't we protecting these positions that are unpaid? I'm sure there's more examples, but I'd be glad to offer any answers. And if you have any questions, please give me contact. I'm sure anybody in the bureau, your other bureaus too, would have good information for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My apologies. I skipped over Chief Patrick S. Corey.
My name is Patrick Corey. I'm a retired Chief Petty Officer from the Navy. I'd like to thank this council for this opportunity to talk to him. This resolution says more about how we want to treat our veterans than simple lip service. I'm a former Marine Sergeant with service in Vietnam and a retired CB Chief Petty Officer with 20 years of service. I've experienced several of the problems that today's veterans and servicemen currently face, including a hostile public and an apathetic VA. The bureaucracies of inpatient, outpatient treatment, medical boards, referrals, review boards, contract doctors, and medical appointments are common to a lot of servicemen coming back. I never experienced the isolation that so many Vietnam veterans experienced because of my extended military service. I cannot emphasize how important treatment of PTSD is. The lack of physical scars or obvious injuries does not mean these veterans have no injuries. Traumatic brain injuries are a byproduct of service in Iraq. Your recognition of this and the resolution is to be commended. An email that I received from Sue Keel identified Steve Roberts as one of two city employees under military assignment with the City of Portland. I have the privilege of working with Steve. He's an outstanding worker, a citizen, airman with the Air National Guard with a wife and two daughters. Let me also recognize another outstanding city employee, Norberto Audrey, who deployed with the 2nd Battalion, 162nd Regiment as a Sergeant First Class, deploying to the Sinai Desert for over a year. He contributed to fulfilling this country's treaty obligations that were set up. During his deployment, he missed his son's graduation, becoming a Marine, and subsequently served two tours in the Gulf. These veterans have done all we have asked of them. Your resolution recognizes their service and sacrifice. Thank you for not forgetting these veterans, letting them come back to a different country, one that welcomes them back and offers them opportunity. Again, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Further discussion? Let's call the vote.
Adams?
I want to thank Bob and Jane and my staff as well for their work on this issue. I'm very proud to serve on a council that this is our second resolution welcoming home the veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan. And this one takes it further than the first one, and the summit that we'll have later in the year will allow us to go even further. I think the testimony of Cindy Flock summed it up very well, that on the issue of Iraq, concerning our returning veterans and concerning the families of veterans who lost their lives and are not returning, this indeed is our common ground. And my intent, although I was too young to be fully aware of the Vietnam War, my intent of learning the lesson of the Vietnam War back home and showing all the support that we can offer to our returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan and other conflicts around the world is something that we intend to pursue. So thank you all today. Thanks to all the veterans that serve, that are city employees, and those that have returned. Aye.
Leonard?
The decisions that are made within the walls of the White House to go to war and the decisions by young men and women to enlist in the military to serve their community and country are two completely separate, unique decisions. I have always made that distinction in my life, including in the 60s and 70s when returning Vietnam veterans were coming home. I wished everybody in our community did. It saddens me that some confuse the two. I honor very much the service of the men and women that were here today, in addition to all of those in the community. This country can and should do a better job of protecting men and women in the battlefield with armor that's appropriate for the weapons that are used against them. Then, of course, after they come home, the revelations of the treatment of our men and women at Walter Reed Hospital and the examples we heard today of the VA are sad and are not appropriate. And to the extent that this city can make up for those deficiencies, we should. And I appreciate Chris Bernard's observations today about what we as a council can do better, and I'm quite certain, knowing everybody here as well as I do, that we will take those issues up to right any wrong that the city commits, albeit not knowingly, to veterans who serve us and take a leave of absence from their work here in the city. So I appreciate very much Commissioner Adams bringing this forward today and the discussion. It is very heartening, and we are very supportive of each and every one of you, and we'll do whatever we need to do to make your transition here better or help you deal with issues that maybe you have been dealing with that we can help out on. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Bob Durston. Oh, there he is over there. for really putting a lot of legwork into this whole idea that we should have this resolution before us today. Commissioner Adams for actually writing it and putting it before us. I think, you know, Oregon does have an ambivalent attitude towards issues related to war and veterans. I think a lot of it may be the fact that we don't have large military bases like Arizona, like Washington, California. I think that does influence and sort of tends to make military and veterans relatively more invisible here. And I think this resolution is a great way to express this city council's intent not to let that happen with the returning veterans from the war in Iraq and the war in Afghanistan. And the other conflicts, too. I think somebody brought up Bosnia and Kosovo. We can't forget the service there in the Sinai Desert. I mean, all around the world, we have people serving this country in many far-flung corners of this world. So this is a great start. It's certainly not the end of it. It's just the beginning. But we need to do better, and I'm very pleased to hear of all the outreach activities that both the National Guard and the Veterans Administration are aggressively engaged in. They sound like great things, and we want to support those. Aye.
Stan.
Well, I also want to thank Bob and all of you who came here today. This is a really heartening, and I think we have a chance to maybe do things differently. And if we may not always learn from the past at the bigger scale of policy decisions that are made, I think we as this community could learn. It's very obvious what happened after other conflicts, particularly Vietnam, when we didn't help people reintegrate. And I think the theme of this day that I keep hearing is reintegration, and I think it's very possible. I also think it literally won't happen unless we reach to some places that we're not always comfortable with and make some new partnerships and say some unpleasant things about how our veterans are being treated and also allow people to have the problems that they're going to have and get past the notion that you have to put on a brave face and pretend like everything is fine. I also think that it's really important that people who disagree on some of the politics of war that have been in this country and this world really for the last couple of years learn how to come together. I was the sole sponsor of a resolution opposing going into Iraq 4 years ago. That measure failed. I thought it was a really purposeful and I believe cheap shot on many in the administration's part to liken support for the troops to whether or not you support this war. I think that it's very possible to actually argue, and I think it's actually kind of cheap on the other side to say, well, the only way you support the troops is not go to war. Those are separate decisions, and I think that I very purposely at that day 4 years ago sparked the discussion of whether our community thought we ought to be going to war before the war started and afterwards said we have to talk about helping the troops as they come back and as they are there. And I think that's where we are now. And I think it's critical if we're going to get to a place where a federal government who sends people to war doesn't abandon them later, that both sides of the debate whether we should be in the war at all come together and say, regardless of what one might think about that, we ought to support those folks. And I think that is the place that we need some hard advocacy. I am ready, willing, able, as I think all of you are, to make sure we do everything in Portland. And I think we can do a lot more than we've done to date to try and help our men and women feel welcomed, to give them the space that they need, the support they need to heal and to return to productive lives here. I also think we need to be very aggressive in saying that we do not have the resources in this community to do that, and the federal government owes us a better, a more responsible approach to trying to provide the health care, the housing, the job training that people need. And so if we can unite across political spectrums to make that case, I believe we will be successful. I've had the privilege of leading the council's efforts on homelessness, and you don't have to go any farther than the streets of downtown Portland to see what the ultimate result is of not helping people reintegrate and support veterans. Veterans are enormously disproportionate. There's some dispute because some will self-identify and some won't. There's no doubt that at least 15% and maybe as much as a third of the people who are on the streets, chronically homeless, have been homeless for at least a year, in many cases more, and that's the definition of chronically homeless, are veterans. And so that is the ultimate place where people headed if we are not supporting them. We've made great progress getting chronically homeless people a place to live and off the street in the last 2 years. And interestingly enough, what seems to make the difference for people who are really probably as alienated as you can get is absolutely need a place to sleep. They need food. They may even need a blanket. But ultimately, what we found in the last couple of years is changing the approach is helping them feel that they're welcome and connecting them with the greater community and helping rebuild their psyche and spirit, I think is probably the most important step, because if people feel connected to the community, they will find ways to get healthy again. And that, even despite some of our best efforts, wasn't always happening. The point I'm driving towards, of course, is that we need to give people that connection before they've been chronically homeless for years and years, and say to people right now when they come back, you know, let's make sure that you're eligible for the things. If you have a 2-year window, let's help you get there and figure it out. Whether you think you need it or not, get yourself applied. A very strong point from the firefighter on some of those issues. As the fire commissioner, I will go back and take a look at those and see if we can't make some improvements. I agree with your analysis. So I think we can work on each of our bureaus. I think we can be spokespeople, and I think we can have the courage to work together, those of us who are on all sorts of different positions on what policy should be, to say there's no doubt we should support men and women that come back. So I think this is a very, very important conversation, and I was just listening. You all had very thoughtful comments. I appreciate it very much. I feel better educated and empowered to try and help some more. So thank you very much. Hi.
Potter.
Bob, thank you for your efforts. Commissioner Adams, thank you and your staff. And to all the folks who spoke here today, I really want to thank you. It is an education for the City Council to hear what is being done, and even more importantly, what is still remaining that needs to be done. I think if we want to honor our men and women who have served in the military and that are serving, is that I think it's important that we provide them a place where they can feel welcome, where they can feel honored, and where they can live their lives in a dignified way. At one of the Community Connect meetings, the last time where we invite homeless folks down to the Memorial Coliseum and provide them meals and haircuts and glasses and just a host of things that Commissioner Stinn and his office has put together, I make a point of going out and meeting the people who are coming in the front door. And I thought about the lack of dignity that this man had. He was a veteran, and he told me that even though he lives in a hotel downtown, when he went to get his identification from the Department of Motor Vehicles, his ID, so that he could receive services and other things, the person at the Department of Motor Vehicles gave him his ID, and he looked down, and for the address, it said, underneath the Burnside Bridge. And I thought, what a terrible thing to do. And this man really felt bad about that, and he talked about how he had served his country. And I think if we're going to do something for our folks, because they are our folks, I think that we need to do it in a way that not only honors them, but gives them the dignity that I believe they deserve. And you folks demonstrated that today, the dignity, and I honor that, and I will do what I can as the mayor to work with my fellow council members to make sure that Portland is a welcoming place for everyone, and that when people return from far-off places, that they feel good about coming back to Portland, because we show them by our actions that we do honor them. So thank you all for being here today. I appreciate everything that was said, and I vote aye. Thank you all for being here. We're recessed until 2 p.m. tomorrow.